Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, and we are welcoming you to our show, Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. Thank God for you, you, and especially you. We are excited once again tonight, family, that you have joined us for another broadcast where we are sharing the Word. I can't wait for Apostle to get into this Word. He's been studying. If you have not been with us these past couple of weeks, you have missed a treat. Amen. You missed a treat. God has been revealing His heart unto the man of God. He's been opening up this Word, and God has been allowing Him to reveal His heart unto us. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about it. There's been a change in the atmosphere. There's been a shift in the mindset. Amen. We are pursuing the kingdom of God with everything within our heart, mind, body, and soul. And we are staying focused, faithful, obedient, compassionate with unity and sanctification. Why? Because holiness is right. No matter how you want to look at it, holiness is right. Amen. But before I begin, I want to get out the way so that the man of God can come and deliver this word on this evening. But let me give you the announcement, okay? Amen. Just want to let you know again, every Tuesday at 7 p.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. Every Thursday, join me, Prophetess McQueen, for Prophetic Atmosphere. Every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m., we invite you to our live broadcast right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. If you are in the Cocoa area or Central Florida area, we are inviting you right here to our new location, the location that God has blessed us with. You can find us at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. Letting you know once again, our services start at 9 a.m. on Saturday for intercessory prayer. Service begins hot and live at 9:30, and on Sunday morning, 8 o'clock a.m. for intercessory prayer. And then we bring the noise of praise and worship and the Word of God at 8:30. So if you are in the Central Florida area or especially Cocoa, we invite you right here. Once again, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, Cocoa, Florida. Look forward to seeing you in the place, and believe me, God will meet you right here at the point of your expectation. Amen? Amen. Also, please, go to our website. We invite you there, www.ctkr.org. Learn more about us, amen, the ministry in general. If any of you want to become a prayer partner or financial supporter of this ministry, or if you would even like to begin to, you know, want someone in touch and agree with you in prayer, amen, or even if you want us to visit and minister at any of your engagements as you're on our website, go to the Contact Us tab located at the top of our page. Follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Amen? Amen. And finally, we have Facebook pages. People of God, go to our Facebook page, Life is Fair. You can find us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministry or WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Let us know what God is doing in your life. Let us know how he is blessing you. And let us know how you are fulfilling his kingdom assignment in the earth. Amen. Those are the announcements for this evening. Let us pray. And then the next voice you will hear will be none other than Apostle McQueen. Amen. With the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you. Hallelujah. We magnify you and we glorify you. God, there is no one else like you. We worship you. We lift your name up. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives. Father, we thank you for second chances. We thank you for a fresh wind. We thank you for a fresh anointing. God, we thank you even now for the clarity of your word that's getting ready to come forth. We thank you for the anointing, God, that's getting ready to be released upon your people. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, I'm asking that you will begin to crown the apostle's head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Father, speak through the man of God on this evening. Let us not see him. Let us not hear him, but let us see and hear the Christ in him, our hope of glory. God, we thank you. Father, we praise you and we bless your holy name. There is no one else like you. Father, we are even asking now that you would wash us from all of our sins, forgive us, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness as we humble ourselves before you, telling you and asking you to have your way in us. Father, help us to pursue you with everything that is within our being. Help us to walk in obedience to your will and to your way. Father, we bless you and we glorify your name in this place. We lift you up. We thank you for your favor, your mercy, your guidance, and your love. We bless you with everything that is within us. In Jesus' name, we give your name glory and praise. Amen and amen. Let us receive Apostle McQueen.
Amen. Come on, let's give God a praise.
Hallelujah.
Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
come on, let's praise and let lift up your voices unto the Lord. Amen. He is so good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm so grateful that you are all here and God is speaking to us. Do me a favor and turn that monitor around so that I might see it. Amen. Amen. And we know that God is doing some incredible things. Look at your neighbor and just say, God is doing some incredible things.
Yes,
he is. He's doing some incredible things. We know that the more that we focus on him, the more that he focuses back on us. Amen. And because he is doing so, we know that there are some things that the enemy is going to try to do to trip us up and get us off focus. Amen. But we have to learn how to keep, amen, our focus. Amen. And if we keep our focus, then God can get the glory out of our lives. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Tonight, I just want to, in the way of announcements, I want to remind you all that we have several things that are going on and will be going on. You're good. You're good. We have coming up the Women of Prophetic Destiny Third Weekend Fellowship. Amen.
Amen.
And that'll be coming up next month. I'll get my dates in front of me so I'll have them. Amen. And after that, we'll be going into the Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. Amen. Now, I'm making mention of that now because you really want to be here. It will go from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then we'll conclude on Sunday. For the third weekend, we will be doing the Friday, the Saturday. It'll conclude on Sunday. Now, you're saying, Apostle, why are you trying to make mention of Women of Prophetic Destiny? Women of Prophetic Destiny has gone over into Kenya, over into Uganda. Amen. We have sons and daughters who are doing Woman of Prophetic Destiny Conference. Amen. And Prophetess Crystal, God has given her the vision for it, and we want to make sure that you benefit from it. Women of Prophetic Destiny has been going on since 2003. Am I right? Amen. So we've been in North Carolina, Pennsylvania. We've been a number of places. Amen. But every year around October, November, right in there, we do the convention or the conference. Amen. And the Lord has blessed us to do it and have different speakers come in and those that God is going to bless us to have come minister to us. Meanwhile, what we're doing is every third weekend we are building up, amen, the fellowship, amen. And the fellowship is every third weekend, amen. We're working on with Sister Melissa. She wants to do the singles, and that'll be the fourth Saturday. And then we're going to get into our Friday nights with the young people. Amen? Amen. So January we'll have Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference. We'll have a singles conference, which will be coming up in November. And then also in October we'll have the Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference that will be coming up. We'll give you more information on that, and we'll be going to our website to post more about that. Amen? Amen. So we want you to keep those things in mind, and we're going to move forward in what God is telling us to do. Amen? Go with me, if you will, then, into the Word of God. And I'm so happy that God has given us the ability to minister this Word. Lord, right now, you were my mouth, and help me to speak your words, amen, and do what you're calling us to do so that we can go forward in the things of God. Amen. Now, we've been talking and dealing with building and developing and where we need to go and how God is trying to get us to grow and mature. And you have to understand that when we don't have an understanding of who God is or what God is calling us to, then it opens the door for the enemy to put an interpretation or a directive on what God has given us to do. Amen. Eve got in trouble when the serpent came and asked the question, "Hath not God said?" And it wasn't bad enough that she gave the proper answer to correct him. It was bad that she actually listened to his explanation of something she already knew. Amen. And in doing so, it creates the other issues, the other problems, if you will, because sometimes we know something that God has said to us, but we allow people to talk us out, thinking that they mean you good. I'm just going to say it like this. Everybody's not happy about your success. Some people give you advice trying to get you to trip up and fall, because they don't want to see you make it, amen? But when God puts a man or woman of God in your life, their job is to help you mature, amen? Thus, we have been talking in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the seventh verse, where we see that Christ gives us a measure of his grace, amen? We are given the grace according to Christ's gift, amen, according to the gift that he's given us. And so if you are then in the 11th verse, apostle, prophet, evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, then you are so with a measure of Christ's gift concerning your assignment. Simply put, stop trying to balance your assignment against everybody else's. You can't beat me being Apostle McQueen. I don't care how hard you try. You can get close, you can mimic everything down to, but there's going to be something missing because you can't beat me being me. The anointing that is upon my life, I had to go through my process to get to. Amen. I have to go through my tests and my trials. I have to overcome and to see when the Lord put me through the test to make sure that I can stand here as the man of God that I am today. Now, I'm not saying that to be a bragger or to talk high about myself. All I'm saying is that I came to this place because I had to get here based on how God brought me here. And same thing with you. While you're sitting there trying to talk down about who you are and who God called you to be, you need to recognize and realize that you have to go through your own test. You have to go through your own trials. Your process for you to get to the place where God called you to and to the anointing that you have on your life right now was specific to you. It was designed for your success. God made sure that you could make it. Amen. You need to look at somebody and say, I can make it. You can make it not because you have put stock in it or tried to do this, that, and the other. You can make it because at this point in time, you have gone through the test. You made it. Amen? Huh? You made it. Look at your neighbor and say, I made it.
I made it.
So then it is that we need to understand that God put the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher here for our development, equipping, edifying, maturing, perfecting. Amen? And once we get all of that together, then we can start to move forward. And let me just say this right here before we even go any further. Amen? You can't get to where God has you going, your destiny, until you come through the way that God set up for you to make it there. I can read my Bible myself. Okay, you can read it, but you can't get an interpretation. You can't get a revelation until you get to the man or the woman of God who God sent to bring you through, bring you up, develop you. See, there's a lot of pastors, a lot of apostles, there's a lot of prophets, there's a lot of evangelists and teachers out there. Paul said it like this. He said, though you have many teachers, you have yet but one father. You have to understand who it is that God is using to bless your life and give you direction and help you get where you need to go. And there's where you need to focus your attention and your energy, amen? Doing otherwise will cause you to get caught up in some mess. And don't fool yourself. People can see when you have an anointing and a grace upon your life, and they'll try to tether you down in their affairs so that when it's time for you to move like God is speaking to you, you can't go forward or back because you're bound. Amen? I told y'all all about this ministry that's here in this area. I'm not going to mention the name. Amen. I'm just going to say that he's a businessman and he got people involved in the church and they're tethered to the ministry. Their livelihood is tethered there. And everything else, they always got things going on so nobody can get free. Amen. And if they can't get free, then they can't hear the truth anyplace else, amen?
Yeah.
Because they're always tied up. And, you know, I went over there and was with them, and they left out the door smoking, cussing, going over each other's house, sleeping with each other, everything else. It, these things ought not to be, amen? But you're supposed to be one of the churches. Come on up here. You don't need to be back there, amen? That's going to help you over here. Yeah. Okay. So as we look at what they were doing a whole lot of extraness. None of it was godliness. Amen? And it is in that we have to look and understand that God is calling us back to sanctification and holiness. Dare I say he's not calling us back. He's calling us to holiness because we have forgotten what the assignment is, running after and doing all kind of crazy things. Let's go right now to 2 Peter, amen. 2 Peter, 2 Peter 1:2-1. It says, but there were also false prophets among the people. Oh, well, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in devices or destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Second verse says this, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the truth has, will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who were afterwards would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was opposed by filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his soul, his righteous soul, from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Amen. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, especially, amen, those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Listen, let me just stop right here. Paul begins to talk. Peter begins to talk and begins to deal with the fact that there are some things that are going to go on. False this, false that, false teachers, false prophets, amen, false apostles, false pastors, amen, and they're doing it without any thought of the recompense of it. They're not thinking about what it's going to cost them. We have to be careful. Amen. God is looking at us and he's asking us, amen, to get ourselves together. And we have to be very careful. You've heard me say this before. We have to be more integral. I put something up on social media. I shared something that another apostle had put up. He said, when a crooked pastor comes in and does what they do, it makes it harder, amen, for those who are really living the life and really doing the work, amen. And so it is when we talk to people in the world, they love the Lord, but they hate church folk. That's how they articulate it. But what they're really saying is, I love the Lord. I love worship. I love church. I love those things, but I hate the cantankerous folk up in there. Look what he says here. When we go back to the verses here, look what it says. It says, and many, second verse, will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. In other words, let me just say it and show it to you here. Let me give you a different translation. I want you to get it clear. Amen. He says here, you know, these false prophets are going to come. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, Remember, I told you before that God is talking to us and dealing with the church about covetousness. Now, the thing is that when I came up, we were taught that covetousness was desiring what somebody else has. But in my studies, I began to understand that covetousness is not what somebody else has all the time. It's what you desire to have beyond what God has already designed and planned for you. Amen? God didn't give you a Maserati because he knew that your head would be too big to come to church. So he gave you a Mercury instead. You got an M. He just didn't give you one you wanted. Amen? Huh? You wanted a Lexus, huh? And he didn't let you get that Lexus because you were already, see, you got to understand, God is not going to give you anything that's going to lead you away from him. Everything is going to bring you back to him. Amen? See, we think that if God really loved me, then he would let me have my infinity. No, you didn't get no infinity because you're not ready for that. Amen? And we got to understand that if we don't mature, we don't allow ourselves to go through the process that God is trying to take us through the men, through the women that God has placed before us, then we're going to get into trouble. You're not ready for that level because you won't do things right at this level. Oh, this is good preaching. Yes, I know y'all don't like it because it didn't tell you that you're making it. It says you got to come up higher. And let me tell you something. Everybody is not flying. Amen?
Yeah.
I remember Prophetess and I was talking, and there was a lot of people, amen, that we was talking about when we were coming up. Nobody seemed to be able to make it. Every time we turn around, you know, woo-hoo, if they're right, they're scarcely me. Say, I know I'm trying to make it as much as I can. Listen, I've already reserved within myself that God is working on me, and I'm still forward progressing. If God says, let it go, it's gone. I may not understand it, huh? But through my life, through my my spiritual matriculation, I've learned that I don't have to understand everything at the point he speaks. I just have to be obedient. And when I look back, amen, I can say like hymn says, we'll understand it better by and by. There's some things that you're not going to understand, my brother, my sister, as you go towards it, but you'll understand it better by and by. So when we're looking at it as we're going towards it, and God said, let it go, we need to just let it go. When God said, back off of it, we need to back off. When God said, put the pedal down and get out of here, you need to stop trying to looky-loo and see what's going on that you got to run from and pick it up, put it in high gear, and get out of bounds. See, we're so busy trying to get God to explain everything to us that our faith is lacking. God can't tell you to do something because you want to know all the details of it. And there's times when you need to know, and then there's times when you need to simply move. Listen, let me just say this. We ain't going to turn here, but we just talked about Lot. Wouldn't it have been crazy for Lot to be sitting down there when the angels told him, okay, that's enough. Grab everything that you can and run and keep moving. Don't look back. Well, what if I can't make it all the way to Zor and I can't make it all the way to... Listen. We'll let you get well off the area, but don't look back. It's coming. Well, you know, I told Frank and them I was going to meet him for lunch tomorrow. You know, it's an annual thing. It's a weekly thing. We do this all the time. I'm just... You know, I just feel bad. If we miss it, you know, I'd like to tell them bye one more time. I didn't tell them last week this time goodbye. Do you think you can wait till tomorrow? No, there's no time to explain to you what's about to happen. If you want to be delivered, you got to be obedient and move. Hello, somebody. Because I think too often God is trying to move us out of harm's way, but our hard head itself trying to get all the details stay right in harm's way. And sometimes you get the aftermath of it. Then you're talking about, Lord, oh, Jesus, help me. And he said, look, you wouldn't even have this conversation with me if you had to move when I told you to. You would have looked back and not been affected by something that I saved you from. How many of you really know, raise your hand, how many of you really know that God has saved you from stuff before? Oh, yeah, you look back and see some of your friends that were still involved in situations, hanging out at places. When it all went down, baby, you was no place around. But you have a story to tell that if it had happened a day or two, if it had happened a week or so earlier, then you would have been right that smack in the middle of some mess. But God kept you. Who's trying to get us to be obedient, get us to understand. False prophets among the people. And you got to be very careful. The Lord told me when I was in Maryland, told me it was time to go back to Ohio. And at that point in time, I was traveling up and down the East Coast. Some of you, many of you know Steve Lawrence, who went out to Potter's House. He is a musician and a conductor and a composer, and he's just on another level of my business. Well, he was over in the youth choir at Refreshing Springs Church of God in Christ, where I was the musician. Myrna Summers was the minister of music. So I was playing for Myrna with Steve and different other ones, University of Maryland, was touring and doing different things. I'm starting to really pick up momentum in that area, which way I wanted to go. And God said, okay, time to go back to Ohio. Amen. This is 1992, amen. If I hadn't listened to him, then in 1993, January, I would have met his prophetess, Crystal McQueen, amen. Now, it didn't make sense why I'm picking up steam here, and everything looks like it's going my way, why God would tell me to move now. But when I got to Ohio and I ran into Prophetess Crystal McQueen, I understood why God moved me. That year, 93, is the year that we got married. It's the year that I started into my career as a police officer. God brought everything together for that time and season. So in 2008, when God said, that's it, you're going to Florida, there's no question in my mind it's time to move, amen? Because God spoke when I went back to Ohio, and I saw the blessing. God spoke when I left from Ohio to come to Florida, amen? And we're starting to see the blessing, amen, of obedience, amen? See, you have to understand that if everything that you do is for your immediate gratification, you'll never build up your faith in God. I'm going to say that again. If everything is for your immediate, your instant gratification, you'll never build up your faith in God. Hmm? And these false teachers or false prophets will turn around and tell you what they want you to hear. A lot of times they're telling you what you want to hear. Okay, well, let's go on through these scriptures here. Let's go on here. Let's go on to 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous time will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, amen, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. And what we've done is we haven't turned away. We've sat down and started watching them for ratings on TV. So when we're supposed to say that is not God and turn our head and cover our eyes, we now tune in and got TiVo set up on it. Your DVR is set to get the whole season of all of this stuff here that you shouldn't be watching none of. You're living vicariously through their lives because you're trying to tell everybody you're saved. But when you close the door and you wave goodbye to everybody and you hang up the phone, you turn it on everything that has nothing to do with God. Then you go ahead and come back out. I'm like, ooh, that's a shame. And you the first one on the floor. Having a form of godliness. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to live this thing. Stop lying to yourself. The world don't want to come to church because they're looking at you be a hypocrite. Here you are talking about you love the Lord and cussing everybody out. You come in here, you got a tongue that is unknown tongue, but outside of here, you got known tongue. Huh? God is trying to get us to demonstrate and be his representatives in the earth. And this is the problem that we have, is that traditional denominational churches have learned how to overlook some of this stuff. Infighting, trying to figure out who's going to be the next greatest. They forgot that your job is to go out amongst the people and compel them to come. Huh? We got to get back to the assignment and the work. Perilous times. Huh? From such people turn away.
Uh-huh.
You see that? Don't think for 1 minute that they're going to like you. Hmm? Oh, look at this right here. From other sort are those who creep in the household and make captive of gullible women laden down with sins, led away by various lusts. They come and tell you, it's okay, everybody got something to go on. Baby, everybody working on something. Ooh, we understand. Baby, if I was you, you know, every once in a while, you got to understand. Wait a minute, stop. Back in the day, God didn't understand. I could go down a list of those saintly, godly women who used to do noonday prayer. They would get in there and call out God, to God our name. All of them had children and situations, but they took time and cried out the names of their children, cried out the situation, cried out for the pastor, cried out for the government, cried out. We stopped crying out a long time ago. Our prayers wasn't for everybody else. Now our prayers is about me. That's why we have situations like we have the latest that we're looking at is in Ferguson. And everybody's trying to figure out how we're going to get this together. Listen, the Bible says if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. In other words, you got to get back to dealing with the reality that nothing is going to change until we focus on him again. Open season on some of us. You try to run around and cry out about rights. Rights. What rights? Huh? Be realistic here. See? Because there's the religious rights. There is the political rights. There's the moral rights. See? And everybody wants to be right. But if you are not part of the norm, you're part of a subculture, you want then everyone to celebrate diversity, which is not like you. Celebrate, thank you. Let us be. And still, your subculture causes a problem with the culture. And then everyone wants to cry out about the right to exist. You know, we have more rights now. And nobody's right now. The only thing that's right is this word here. And if we don't get back into this word, then we're going to sit back and watch all of this unfold. And when did you put the brakes on? I'm talking to the ecclesia now. I'm talking to the church. When is it that you put the brakes on? When do we say enough? When do we hold the brake down to the wheels? Wheel. We've taken our hands off the wheel. We've taken our foot off the brake. And this thing is running wild. And God is trying to get us to take the exit ramp. Yeah, it's going to bog you down, but it's going to slow your forward progression into destruction. A tow truck can always pull you out of that safety a zone that they have. You know, when you up in the mountains and they have the runoff for the truck, Uh-huh. They pack it in such a way when the truck comes in, it loses all of its momentum and it comes to a safe stop. Tow truck comes and pulls it out. And you'll find out that the brakes have burnt out on it because he didn't manage his gears properly. And here we are watching all of this in the world. We're supposed to be the ones demonstrating the power of the kingdom of God. And we have stopped worrying about the world. The devil has gotten a lot of people focused on me, my. It's time for me to get my stuff. And you running, trying to give offerings and sow into my next destiny level. And then me, shut up. You can't get nothing from God till you mature up in him. Huh? Everything that you need from God is going to come when you mature to a level where you can handle it. You're not getting it a moment before. So you got your little love offering set aside for that preacher that's coming in town, talking about he came in town and he prophesied over, what's his name, and they got this little increase in that. That was one person, and their faith was at that level. But how about all the rest of you who gave up all your rent money, your utility money, all your food money, your gas money, you check your rides and asking people, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, trying to give an offering that's supposed to help, and you still in dire straits. Listen, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. That means that when God gives you the ability to take care of your responsibility, take care of it. He gives bread, huh? And he gives seed to the sower. That means he's going to take care of your needs, but he's also going to take care of your wants. You see that? We got to get back to doing the right thing. Perilous times. Why? Because they're going to be out there and they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to know the truth. You see that? Huh? Always learning and never ever coming to the knowledge of the truth. Now look at this right here, the 8th verse, and I really want to get to this because I want to read it into your hearing. Amen. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind disapprove concerning the faith. The reason why they cannot talk about faith, they can't preach faith, is because they don't have any faith. So they try to tear down those who walk by faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Listen, we got to understand, if false teachers are here, false prophets, false apostles, then we got to learn what's real. See, the thing is whenever there's a true apostle, a true prophet, a true evangelist, a true pastor, a teacher, whenever they show up, everything that's fake and false gets upset.
Yeah.
A real apostle would appreciate the gift and the grace of another real apostle because we're after the same thing, expanding the kingdom of God, doing the assignment he's given us. We're all after that. A real prophet will appreciate the mantle of another real prophet because we're all seeing in the spirit. And what one says, the other one will have already spoken before they got there. So they're just coming and confirming and reaffirming the word that was already spoken in the spirit because they're not competing. They're actually complementing each other. Evangelists don't care about the other evangelists. They just want souls saved. So if you can get it by what you said or what you did, and I'm getting it by what I said and what I did, we're just happy that souls are getting saved. True evangelists. True pastors aren't worried about sheep. You know why? Because the sheep that God gives them are the sheep that will sit at their feet and be fed by them. They're not stealing sheep. By telling the falsehoods and lies, yeah, I'm going to be over there, Doc. I don't know. You need to be over here. We can be paid. Hold on. If that's how you got your membership in your church, then you didn't get them the right way. And I would check to see if you really are pastor to start with.
True pastors are just happy that the sheep are being kept and that the shepherd is happy with it. I'm not talking about shepherd is us. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. We're all under shepherds. You understand? So when he's happy, we're satisfied. Teachers are happy when other teachers are coming because they're bringing enlightenment and education, huh? And development and growth to the body. True teacher. But when it's false one, Lord help. False apostles sitting up there trying to make everybody glorify them. Huh? The kingdom of me is mine, and how great I am, and I am the greater than it. You know, your ring is so heavy on your right hand that it covers all of your finger, because you want everybody to know you got the biggest ring. You got the biggest title, so you the chief ambassador of apostles. I'm still waiting there for that apostolic coat to come, because they're putting these titles and stuff together, trying to be one greater than the next one. Y'all got to go back to the Bible, because when they came to Jesus asking who was going to be the greater, he had an answer for them. And I don't see none of these people with all these extra titles. And I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, amen. I'm not trying to be greater than I am. I am just who I am, amen. But when I go and deal with some of them, they're so high. And they got so many people around. Listen, I had up on one of my social medias where this African pastor had a witch doctor and his two helpers out in front of the church trying to see who was greater. And as they was going back and forth, the pastor kept calling on the name of Jesus and laid out the witch doctor and his helpers. They picked them up and took them inside the church to deliver them.
Lay them on altar,
yes. But here, since we got so many people faking the truth, here they are. They got to get armed guards calling them armor bearers. We got to protect the anointing. What? What do you mean, protect the anointing? Listen. When they came to throw Jesus off the cliff, they backed him up to the cliff, and Jesus, knowing it was not his time, just walked through the crowd because it was not his time. He didn't have to have his armor bearers come up and make way. No, he just walked through the crowd because they could not touch him. And the same thing with you. When you are on assignment and God has your back, you don't have to worry about the enemy running up at you because God will protect you. You got to recognize and realize that there are angels that will protect you.
Yep.
Your assignment in the kingdom is more important than somebody getting or trying to do something. God will protect you when you are doing what God called you to do. Sending all your elders and your armor bearers and your security staff, you sending them out so that they can get trained by those who are doing guerrilla warfare, MMA, and everything else, and they got to come back with certifications and sitting there with all kind of batons and other stuff up under their jackets and everything. And we're trained with a military knife and everything, and we have our certification, blah, 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 blah. Well, we've been certified with our sidearms, and everyone that's in the inner circle has their permit to carry, and we protect the man of God, the woman of God. And my thing is, listen, if I'm around you and you got all that, get away from me, because I don't need your flesh getting in the way of my spiritual authority. When it's time to do spiritual battle, your bullets naturally have nothing to do with what's going on in the spirit. And if you are so weak in the spirit that you need carnal means to fight, the Bible lets us know very clearly that we battle not against flesh and blood. It tells us that the weapons of our warfare is not carnal,
yes, yes,
but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I don't have to worry about that stuff because if I have the anointing on my life, the grace of God on my life to walk as an apostle, as a man of God, then that means that I don't need all that other stuff. Thank you for your concern, but God will protect me, and if he allows me to fall by the sword, so did the apostle. Huh? Crucified upside down. And yet still they went knowing that God was getting the glory. Put on the Isle of Patmos where we get the revelation. And while he's out there, he's going through exile. And yet still he goes through it and still does it because he knows that God's getting the glory out of it. We don't want to go through nothing because we too are low of ourselves. God can't get the glory out of you because you too are low with you. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us today. God is trying to help us to see that all of that is fake and false. I remember the days with Dad King back when I was a baby, amen. My memories of him and the things that I remember was that we had demon-possessed people who were coming to church, and they would take all the kids and, at Trinity Faith Tabernacle over on LaGrange Street at the corner of LaGrange in Delaware, Toledo, Ohio. They would take the kids and put them upstairs where the bathrooms were, put the prayer warriors at the bottom of the steps, and they would begin to go into warfare. Prayer warriors, not intercessors, prayer warriors, not people up there trying to give my decree and declaration. Prayer warriors would be there, and they would begin to intercede and begin to take care of war in the atmosphere against what was going on downstairs. Amen? And they would get those stones, you know, those claws. When people fall out, they would get them, and they would begin to get around that person and begin to plead the blood. They would get the weight baskets and the tissue and everything else. And we saw people delivered. We saw demons ran out. Huh? Nowadays, don't nobody got time to tarry. Don't nobody got time to do nothing. We come in for an hour, and if you go an hour and 10 minutes, we upset. I ain't coming next week. Listen, if we want to have power, we got to go through what it takes to get power and tarry before the Lord. Lord, help us today. See, they don't want to do this because the longer faith is in there, the more chance that we have to actually reveal the faith. So they want to come in, turn the music up, get it going good. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. Oh, that feels good. Everybody, we're going to do it for the vibe. Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Back in the day, the power guy hit the building and hit the location. We'd be under the tent revival way back, kicking up dust and everything. And people would be coming in off the street, drunk half, prostitutes, the pimps and everything else, coming up under the tent. And when they hit the skirt of that tent, whatever was holding them let them go. They become pillars in the church, working and praising God. Because when the Lord set them free, they knew that they were bound and they knew that they were loose. Now we sit back and try to counsel people and understand, well, you know, you're just going to have to work through it. Baby, stop telling people to work through stuff that needs deliverance. And when you ain't got the power, then get out the way and let folks who have spent the time and have the anointing on their life, let them do the work. Oh, God. All right. Look at this. Let's go over to Isaiah 40. We stopped taking time with God, which is what gave room to these false teachers and prophets to come in. Nobody has time to sit under godly teaching anymore.
Yes.
Where we want motivation up. You know, well, I read a study where, you know, the attention span is only, okay, listen, you ain't going to get no power trying to worry about your attention span.
That's
You can go watch an epic movie at the theater and catch it all. Don't blink. Or just captivate it.
Yeah.
Well, we fell in love with the word so much that we were captivated by it. When I go over to Africa and preach, I mean, I come up in there with some 40 minutes talking about, and we're raising our hands before the Lord afterwards. No, they're like, if coming back with the rest of the word will be none other than not that apostle Christmas. If you ain't gave them an hour and a half, 2 hours, they feel that you did them wrong. Why have you given us a snack when we need a meal? We want you to go back empty. Let us try to preach an hour and a half, 2 hours over here.
You might as well close up because ain't nobody coming to that church.
Look what it says here. Let's go up to 28 verse. Have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And this is the thing that we have to begin to look at as we identify those who are faith, is that they're trying to understand God. And you wanting to understand God because it goes against the grain of you just having faith in him. They begin to talk to you and say, well, we understand. And you begin to listen. And you walk away what God has said to you to hear the interpretation of somebody who don't even know him. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. So when you get to your place where you are beyond your strength, guess what? God will strengthen you. He's going to keep you. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Your arms are tired. Guess what? He's going to cause you to have strength. Amen. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But listen to this. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What God is trying to get us to is a place where we wait on him until he strengthens us. And that means that if we got to preach the gospel that nobody wants to hear because it challenges you, then I'm going to wait on God. He's going to send the listener in that needs to hear the message. We're not going to change the message so people can come in because then I got to deal with the fact that I'm not speaking the truth about God. Job's friends got in trouble because they didn't say what they need to say about God. I refuse to have gone through a Job situation and then lose it at the end. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
We're going to do what we need to do, and God is going to get the glory out of our life. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in a part of your sin. You say, Apostle, that's you're preaching a gospel, and I don't know if I can do all of that. I'm going to tell you right now, you probably can. But the Holy Spirit, who will indwell you, can. He is the keeper. He's the one who empowers you to do what you couldn't do. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Be the ability to do what I could not naturally do. Amen. So I'm praying for you now. If you want to be saved, simply say this with me. Say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, if they pray that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible-believing church where they can be developed and matured, go on to do the work that you called them to do. Lord, we've got to get back to true holiness, true sanctification. I pray for those, Lord, who are saved, who have lost their focus,
that they will grab hold of the assignment that you've given them and get their focus back on you in the name of Jesus. We bind the works of the enemy, and we say, loose your hold on them now. We speak right now deliverance, salvation. We speak resources, the miracles, signs, and wonders. Manifest now. Lord, prove yourself in our midst. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ckr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord, and we'll see you on Thursday night for Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 and on Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Worship Experience Saturday morning at 9:30 and Sunday morning at 8:30. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.